Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today we're talking about what could be a very vital missing link when it comes to diagnosing a wide variety of health problems, ranging from attention deficit disorder in children to cardiovascular disease in adults, fibromyalgia and pain syndromes, myriad health problems could be related to this, but it's often overlooked. This is one of the ignored aspects of a comprehensive workup. And shedding light on this today is an expert, Dr. Michael Gelb, who is an expert on sleep-disordered breathing. And he's written a great book. It's called GASP, and it beautifully lays out the case for taking a more careful look at how we breathe, especially at night. Dr. Gelb, let's talk a little bit about the relationship between this problem and weight gain. It's kind of a two-way street, isn't it? A vicious cycle.
Yeah, it is. It is. And as we gain weight, of course, we gain weight in our neck. You know, I always kid around, men gain weight in their stomachs and their faces, in their neck, and of course that's where the airway is. Women don't really get that type of weight pattern until around menopause. So obesity plays a huge role. As we get heavier, of course, we get the narrowing of the airway. It's always advised to take off weight. We manage to take off a few pounds and it seems like our snoring gets better. So there's definitely is a relationship.
But how about the opposite?
The leptin and the ghrelin, yes.
Yeah, because, in fact, sure. You may recall, I was once called upon to speak at one of your conferences, a conference yes. related to airway disorders, and I was tasked with writing about the relationship between nutrition and airway disorders, and I said, well, you know, what is it? You know, is there certain types of food that make airway disorders worse? And basically, it was about the kindling of appetite and the metabolic changes that occur when you have obstructive sleep apnea and airway disorders that create a vicious cycle where you just gain and gain and gain, and of course that makes the problem worse.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. So we know that when we don't sleep well, the amount of leptin and ghrelin, so leptin and ghrelin determine how full we feel. And they also determine how quickly we are satiated, or how hungry we are. So your hunger and your feeling full are determined, believe it or not, by getting a good night's sleep and a restful night's mm-hmm. sleep. So
and it's been demonstrated that people who are intentionally sleep deprived, very quickly they lose their metabolic tolerance for carbohydrates. They crave more carbohydrates, they gain weight, they become insulin resistant. You can actually induce diabetes with sleep deprivation.
Well, that's right. So those studies are very interesting, and it's amazing how when we get our patients to sleep through the night, that's a great way to diet, because without even trying, right, Ron, you mm-hmm. can take off 5, 10, 15 pounds.
It's like those miracle diet pill ads where they say, just take this pill and sleep away the pounds. Well, you don't even have to take the pill. Just sleep away the pounds. If you sleep adequately, it's going to help you with optimizing your weight. No question. So there are changes that are metabolic changes that are associated with this condition. Also, and this is a rather dramatic claim, It is thought that this could contribute to the risk of cognitive problems and diabetes. And Alzheimer's disease. Not just yes. ADHD in kids, but you know, could it actually cause the brain to deteriorate long term?
Yes. So, you know, Howie is involved. Dr. Hinden, Howard Hinden, and my sister are both involved with Sharp Again, naturally, or Sharp Again. .org, and basically what happens is that Niedermeyer recently discovered this thing called the glymphatic system, and you probably heard about it, is that when you sleep well, toxins get removed from the brain. The brain actually, in a way, it slows down, it shrinks, there's space between cells, and the toxins can be relieved from the brain, and I think that that goes also in step with the study at UCLA that showed that the blood-brain barrier, when we have sleep apnea, the blood-brain barrier becomes more porous, allowing toxins, infections into the brain. So there's been all kinds of studies looking at the white matter and the gray matter, and we actually, you know, Dale Bredesen's work, there's even thought today from people like Bredesen that we can reverse the beginnings of dementia. And of course, we look to go more and more upstream. But we know, for example, where did I put the keys? Can't remember your name. Why did I go into that room? Why did I put that in the refrigerator? You know, those type of things. And it starts happening in your 30s and your 40s. It's not like just one day you wake up and you have dementia. We've actually been forgetting things for 20, 30, 40 years before that happened. So I think you make a great point. When you eat better, when you sleep better, you're going to start remembering things, and your focus, your concentration, your acuity is just going to get better. So I think that that's absolutely true what you stated.
Indeed. This is a good point at which to pause to allow one of our sponsors to share this message with you. So here goes.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to CarlsonLabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Okay, folks, thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. And now back to our discussion with Dr. Michael Gelb on the subject of sleep-disordered breathing. Michael, what about the relationship between sleep-disordered breathing and pain? Because there's some fascinating information in your book, Gasp, about how pain signals become accentuated if you have this type of airway problem.
Yeah, it's great. It's just a very interesting, it brings together my two specialties. But we know from early on, from like even Moldovsky's work, we had this sleep called delta sleep, deep sleep. And if you notice, if you go a couple of days and you haven't gotten very good deep sleep, everything becomes achy. It's almost like you feel like you have the flu. Well, we could take a healthy basketball team, a healthy basketball player, and we could deprive him of this deep sleep for 3, 4, 5 days in a row, and he will have pain all over his body. And this is a really in-tune athlete. So there
are
people
out
there.
The Yankees always lose when they go to the West Coast and play Seattle or the Angels?
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, there's all kinds of sleep coaches now in these baseball teams that tell the reliever if it's a day game, is it a night game, when should you go to sleep, how much sleep you should get, because definitely performance is, we know that performance is tied in, but we know that people also, the corollary to that is that people that have arthritides or have chronic pain, they don't sleep as well, and it actually makes their pain worse. So we know that getting a good night's sleep, getting enough sleep, getting restful sleep, and I talk about mostly getting this deep delta or stage 3 and 4 sleep goes a long way into making people feel less of that, what they call widespread muscle pain.
Indeed. So in your book, you have what's called an airway-centric questionnaire that is a little bit of a do-it-yourself initiation into this. For our listeners out there who might be questioning, do I have this? Might I have this? What are, you know, they should get the book. They should take the question. They should undertake the questionnaire. But what are some of the clues?
Well, I would say, you know, you can go on Amazon and you can look for the book, but I think one of the clues is, am I restless? Am I moving a lot around a lot in bed? Mm-hmm. Am I tired on awakening? Am I overweight? Am I a man? Mm-hmm. That will preclude. Is my neck size over 17? Mm-hmm. If I'm a man, is my neck size over 15? If I'm a woman,
or alternatively, if you look in the mirror, you might have one of those narrow facial patterns that's quite in vogue these days. By the way, a lot of the top models and actresses have that, but it signals a narrow palatal arch, right?
Yes, that's a great thing. So if you look at the palate, if you look in the mirror, and there's a lot of dark spaces when you smile, if you have a high narrow palate. If you're a mouth breather, if you're the type of person that has to breathe through your mouth, you can't really, if your nose is always stuffed up, if you're a mouth breather, it precludes you to becoming having sleep-disordered breathing or being airway-centric. So we see these patterns starting in children at a very young age, and it continues. Some people have had orthodontics where they've had teeth taken out. And you can just spot them. You can see this, you know, 10, 15, 20 feet away.
Is that a bad idea? The tendency now to, you know, almost preventively taking out wisdom teeth?
Well, it's not the wisdom teeth. What happens is when you go to the orthodontist, because of all these epigenetic factors, because of the poor diet, because we choose soft foods, because of our ancestors, because of pollutants, more kids, there's not room today for all 32 teeth. The wisdom teeth don't come into the mouth because the jaws have gotten smaller. So if you go to the orthodontist when the kid is 11 or 10, 11 or 12, the orthodontist says, look, mom, there's not really room in the mouth for all these teeth. The mouth is so crowded, we have to take out four teeth. Mm-hmm. And what happens is when you take out the four teeth, the airway actually becomes smaller. Mm-hmm. And the orthodontists try to defend this, but the answer
is... It's like removing
a
brick from an archway. It tends to make the archway
exactly
smaller.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And it's like playing musical chairs. If I take a chair away from this side and a chair away from that side, the circle is going to get smaller. Yeah. And you know what? The tongue doesn't get any smaller. So the answer really is to start at an early age and to really expand that airway. So there's a lot of ways, but a lot of it is just looking at the patient. A lot of it is anatomical, and between the ENT, pediatric dentist, the dentist, and people like you, Dr. Hoffman, you're able to see these patients. You can now start to spot them, you know, before they've said a word.
Right, but, you know, you and along with an organization that you are instrumental in, trying to raise awareness among health professionals to make the proper referrals, because, as you well know, most health professionals aren't even attuned to this, and even if they are, they don't have the expertise to make a proper diagnosis. So how do you find someone who's going to properly evaluate this? You know, we do this podcast, and, of course, we've got lots of listeners in the tri-state area of New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and you've got a couple of offices, one in Westchester and one in Manhattan.
Yes.
But what about listeners on the West Coast, in Canada, in the South, other parts of the country? Is there an association? Is there a certification in this field?
Yeah, we have a foundation for airway health, and we have a listing. We have a directory in that, which we're making bigger, and we're actually reaching out to a lot of the big organizations in dentistry that have trained their members in airway and sleep and breathing. There are a number of pediatric ENTs out there, and they've been trained specifically in sleep. So you just have to find one of those ENTs that's trained in sleep. There is the American Academy of Dental Sleep Medicine. There's the American Academy of Sleep Medicine. And so there are organizations out there. Howie Hinden and I formed the American Academy of Physiological Medicine and Dentistry. So there are organizations out there that believe in collaborative care. which is what Howie and I and you, Dr. Hoffman, have been doing for years and years. So I'd say the Foundation for Airway Health and the AAPMD are a good place to start.
Okay, and maybe you can give us a website at AAPMD.org.
Sure, AAPMD.org and airwayhealth.org. So if you want to know more, we formed this foundation to educate the public. It's called Airway Health, Foundation for Airway Health, and it's airwayhealth.org. That would be a great place to go. There's also help over the counter, if I can.
Yeah, go.
For the people that can't breathe through their nose, we have begun using something called a nasal stent. It's called a MUTE, M-U-T-E, nasal stent.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that because probably 25 to 30, even up to 75% of the obstruction from snoring can come from your nose. So if you are in a pinch, you know, literally, but if you can't breathe through your nose, it's a great adjunct and it's a great way to open up the airway.
And this just goes beyond a breathe right nasal strip. Do you think those are of any value whatsoever?
Well, I think, yeah. I mean, I think, look, it's an alternative to a breathe right. Sometimes you'll get a better stenting of the airway from the inside because the airway can't suck down upon itself. It's actually keeping the airway open internally. And we give them out to all our patients, and they're very well received. And some people just can't, they won't sleep without them.
So, just explain briefly what happens when a patient comes to the Gelb Center for
sure.
An evaluation. You know, what does the evaluation consist of? And then what are some of the remediations that can be undertaken to fix the problem?
So we take a full history on everybody, a chief complaints history. We do an examination, which also includes the muscles, and we look at whether they're clenching or not, because people that have bruxism, people are clenching their teeth. Many of those people actually have a sleep disorder. We take a scan, a very low radiation scan of the airway. So we can actually, we measure the size of the airway. We look at the nasal airway. We look at the airway behind the soft palate, behind the tongue. And we're able to see if the airway is below, let's say, 100 square millimeters, we know that we will definitively have a problem. We'll determine whether the patient needs a sleep test. And what we provide at the Gelb Center are custom-made appliances. They're milled appliances. They're very thin and narrow, and they don't allow the jaw to retrude, or we don't let the airway collapse at night, particularly when you sleep on your back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most men and most women, when they sleep on their back, gravity takes everything back, and it allows the airway to collapse. So we're basically taking this collapsible airway and stenting it or keeping it open at night with some very comfortable and non-bulky bite plates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in your bio, you describe the airway-centric medical device as well as
yes.
the NORAD, which is the nocturnal oral airway dilator appliance.
Right.
And those are well-tolerated?
Yeah, you know what? What's happened is I don't really use the NORAD so much anymore, but we've developed over the years. It keeps getting better and better. These devices keep getting less bulky, and we're now able to make a device that doesn't impinge upon the tongue at all. So basically, there's nothing on the inside. There's nothing on the tongue side, on the palate side, that would shove the tongue back. So, you know, the whole thing for the patient, is it comfortable? You know, will they wear it? Because we look at compliance
right.
at something like CPAP.
Yeah, or CPAP.
Which is,
a lot of patients just
right.
hate CPAP. They've gotten the devices. They don't use them. It's not a workable solution for them.
Yeah, so they're great. I mean, look, CPAP is fantastic. If you can use it, it's great. It's fantastic. But for a lot of people, you know, it may not be for them. So there are alternatives to losing weight, sleeping on your side. And for some people, that would involve an oral appliance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we should also note that probably 50% of the night guards that are worn every night in this country are actually closing the airway.
Oh, boy.
So if you're wearing a night guard,
yeah,
you
like,
really
I'm
have
a, I'm
to be
a bruxer,
careful.
For example, and I grind my teeth. So I wear something just to protect my tooth surfaces. But what it does occupy space in my mouth, So perhaps it could worsen that problem. I don't suffer from any of the symptoms that you describe here, but, you know, for someone who already has a compromised airway, putting something like that in their mouth could actually create more more problems.
Especially if it allows the jaw to go back, and it forces, in some cases, the jaw to go back more, and it's bulky. 100%, we're finding out now that that can be a problem in a certain percentage of those appliances.
Is there ever a place for a surgery or something called somnoplasty? I know they used to use that sometimes to open up the airway. It's sort of a non-scalpel technique for creating a more patent airway.
Yeah, so, you know, originally Crespi came up with the laser-assisted uvulopalatoplasty, the layup, and the UPPP, where they took everything out. So I think we're doing less palatal surgery. Nasal surgery is still a good thing, whether it's turbinates or whether it's the septum and whether we're stenting everything. So nasal surgery can be a very good thing if we're maintaining the patency of the airway. Today, there's lasers that are being used. Certain people use lasers to remove tonsils. But you can laser the soft palate, and, you know, there's implantable devices, there's stimulation devices to keep the airway open at night as well. So there are newer things coming out that that may be good, as well as, with the oral surgeons, maxillomandibular advancement. So if you have a very small upper jaw and a quite small lower jaw, there is a surgical technique where you can advance the upper, advance the lower between 10 and 14 millimeters, and that is about 100% effective. So in certain cases, certain really dramatic cases, that's what may need to be done.
Do you see patients after these procedures feeling less tired, more alert, losing weight, having relief from fibromyalgia symptoms? I mean, what are some of the net results of all this?
It's transformational. It's really transformational. So if you want to go into a field or you want to look in an area where you can really transform someone's life, I mean, you're basically giving their life back. You're getting rid of the fatigue. They're getting this biochemical refreshment, synaptic efficiency. Everything's working better. They have a sense of more of psychological well-being. And so that, to me, it's really profound. You're really giving someone their life back that thought that their life was going to be over.
Wow, that is really impressive. And you can read the case studies along those lines in the book GASP. It's available from the usual sources. And you've got a website as well?
Yes, yeah, so GASP, the airway book. You can look at GASP. You can go to Amazon and read a free chapter, and you know, people can contact me. I can send you out an e-copy of the book if people are interested. But you can go to Amazon and you can take a look at the book, and I think you can read a couple chapters on Amazon as well.
Indeed. And your website is gelbcenter.org?
Yes, gelbcenter.com.
.com, okay.
Yep.
And I'll also put in a word for your collaborator, who is really
Dr. Hinden,
a fabulous innovator in his own right. In studying this phenomenon and identifying it and correcting it for patients up in Rockland County, Dr. Howard Hinden and his son have a wonderful clinic up there.
Sure. Jeff and Jill, and she's a wonderful orthodontist, Jill, as well. So, the Hinden Center is another great place to get looked at for airway-centered disorders.
Excellent. Well, hey, thank you so much, Dr. Michael Gelb, for joining us and providing us with a unique perspective on challenging health problems. And I want all our health professionals out there who listen to this program, I know we have a lot of health professionals who listen, to be on the lookout for cases, because it's a missing diagnosis. It's a diagnosis that could really unlock a very Gordian knot type of problem for a challenging patient. And as well, listeners who may feel that they have this type of problem, you really deserve an evaluation to see if this could be part of the solution to your health challenge. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Ron.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.